root beer, and it was so tasty.
Yeah, isn't it nice when you get that flavor combos that you love?
Mm-hmm. And then finally, it's National Eat Your Vegetables Day. Always a good idea.
Yeah, I'm behind that.
Do you have a favorite vegetable?
That's a good...
I'll go with mine first. Kay. Carrots. Carrots is number one. Okay. I love a good carrot.
I mean, I love stuff like beets and Brussels sprouts, but I love carrots. I also love the much maligned celery. I love a good piece of celery.
I don't mind celery. I'll eat it if it's on the table.
Okay.
Do you ever do the ants on the log?
I'm not a big raisin fan, but I do peanut butter and a celery.
Okay.
I like that a lot. Or cream cheese. Mm-hmm. What is ants on a log? Is it?
It's peanut butter and then raisins.
Okay.
The raisins represent the ants.
I don't know why. I've never been quite a raisin fan.
What about raisin bran?
Yeah, I'm okay with that. That sounds good.
Okay.
I mean, I don't mean to act like I haven't had it. I've had it. I want to go back to apple strudel. So I got to, one time I was on a trip and we were in Salzburg, and we were on Sound of Music. We were only there for like a day and a half. We took the train there. And so we needed to do all of the Sound of Music things. And there was cheesy, like a bus tour where you went up to where the glass thing where Liesl had danced. And you sang along and on the bus to all the songs from the Sound of Music. Anyway, that night we went to a dinner theater where they sang. And we ate, you know, the Raindrops on Roses and Whiskers on Kittens. Mm-hmm. Crisp apple strudel is one of the ones.
Yep, yep.
That's what we ate while we heard them sing that. So I loved it then. It was very exciting.
Was it like when you're in a movie and they say the line, or they say the title of the movie during it, where you get a little bit of excitement?
Yes.
When they get to the apple strudel?
We had schnitzel with noodle and crisp apple strudel. That's what we had. It was very, very exciting. So... I mean, we also went to Mozart's birthplace. You know, we didn't do just the cheesy things, but it was a lot of fun.
I just recently rewatched Amadeus.
Oh.
Do you remember that movie?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I had the soundtrack. I thought that was amazing. It was when I was I in high school, headed into college. So it felt like it was very serious studying music to have that soundtrack.
I can see that. They were always saying that in choir class of like, you know, if you listen to classical music, you'll do better in school. They were always pushing that agenda on us.
Classical music. There you go. Well, yeah, we'd love to hear from you this morning. Text 218-326-1234.
Should Heidi get back into the National Cherry Tart?
No, I should not. This is 91.7 KEXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are celebrating 50 years of people-powered radio in northern Minnesota. You can, too. Join us at KEXE.org.
And support for KEXE comes from Woodworks Homes, dedicated to the art of building in northern Minnesota by constructing handcrafted new homes and offering remodeling services. More at woodworksmn.com.
Rain all the way over on Highway 2. We could see some possible thunderstorms. Cloudy skies, highs 60 to 65. Southeast winds 5 to 10. Gusts could be up to 20. Chance of showers and thunderstorms continues tonight. Cloudy with lows in the upper 40s.
And support for KXE comes from Atchison Tire in Grand Rapids, providing service and offering tire brands like Bridgestone, Firestone, and Toyo, serving the area since 1916. More at AtchisonTire.com. Now it's time for the Up North Report.
For KAXE News, I'm Larissa Donovan with the Up North Report. The U.S. Department of Justice is charging 15 Minnesotans with, quote, conspiracy to impede or injure federal officers and related charges pertaining to the efforts to violently oppose immigration law enforcement during Operation Metro Surge. The Minnesota Reformer reports the charges were announced in an 11 a.m. Tuesday press conference by Daniel Rosen, the U.S. Attorney for the District of Minnesota, and Michael McCarthy, the Special Agent in Charge of Homeland Security Investigations. The charges describe a range of tactics allegedly used by the defendants, such as, quote, stalking federal agents and using blocks of ice to slow their convoys. The prosecutor showed photos of protesters blocking streets and creating barricades near the Whipple Federal Building. No comment was made on how many federal agents were injured because of the actions described in the charges. The Associated Press reports 12 defendants were arrested Tuesday, two remain at large, and one was already in custody. The charges come months after Operation Metro Surge brought thousands of agents to the Twin Cities, which set off mass protests and the fatal shootings of two U.S. citizens. Activity from Immigration and Customs Enforcement continues in north central Minnesota. The Park Rapids Enterprise reports one of the co-founders of Vallarta's Mexican Grill, Sergio Barajas, was detained by federal authorities Monday morning while he was at Anytime Fitness. An eyewitness told the Enterprise that the situation, which involved agents in five vehicles in the parking lot, was peaceful. Barajas opened Vallarta's in downtown Park Rapids in 2012 with Pedro Unzueta. Both men are from Mexico. The Park Rapids activity follows reported detainments in Bemidji late last week, where work crews were reportedly detained from various storm-impacted job sites. Repeated inquiries for confirmation from ICE have not yet been returned. A Minnesota nonprofit is offering a $25,000 reward for information on a Wadena cold case. Carla Beth Anderson, a 23-year-old woman described as a vulnerable adult, was last seen returning to her Wadena apartment around 8 p.m. November 13, 1987, after an evening with her mother and stepfather. After she didn't report to work the next day or answer multiple phone calls, Wadena police officers responded to her apartment. They found no signs of a break-in, no indications of a struggle, with the apartment door still locked and her purse inside. The only things missing were Anderson's apartment keys and her Hardee's jacket. The nonprofit Spotlight on Crime announced the reward in a Monday press conference in Wadena. A person coming forward with information that leads to the whereabouts of Anderson and the identity of those responsible for her nearly 40-year disappearance could receive up to $25,000. In a news release, Wadena investigators, quote, do not believe that Carla would have chosen to disappear and are unaware of a motive for someone to harm her, and that no witnesses to aid the investigation have yet been found. Nearly a year after a devastating derecho storm caused widespread damage in the city of Bemidji and surrounding areas, one local leader was recently recognized for his short-term and long-term efforts along the long road to recovery. Leaders Link, a leadership nonprofit founded by former CNN correspondent Kathleen Koch, announced earlier this year that Bemidji Mayor George Prince was the winner of this year's Tommy Longo Leadership Award for his disaster response. Prince was nominated for the competitive national award by the League of Minnesota Cities. Executive Director Luke Fisher described the league's decision to nominate Prince, who serves on its board of directors and is a trustee for its insurance trust board.
You remained visible, accessible, and engaged as the recovery efforts unfolded, and he communicated openly with residents to ensure that people had some sense that things were going to be okay, even though they were dealing with the worst.
During his acceptance speech Monday evening in the council's chambers, Prince said while he was honored to accept it, the recognition belongs to more than one person.
In the weeks that followed the storm, I saw a community come together in a way I had never seen before. Each person and organization doing their part.
Beltrami County Emergency Management Director Chris Muller, Bemidji Fire Chief Justin Sherwood, United Way Executive Director Danae Alamano were just some of those who made remarks Monday on the various elements of storm response that continues today. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Larissa Donovan, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is made possible by Woodland Bank, providing customers with personal and business banking solutions, as well as offering Kasasa checking accounts. You can learn more online at woodland.bank.
You are tuned in to the Wednesday morning show on this dreary Wednesday. It is June 17th. Oh, careful.
Headphones. I feel like that. Do you ever see the first episode? You probably don't listen or watch Amy Poehler's podcast.
No, I don't.
Oh my gosh!
I've seen clips online.
The first one was hilarious. It had to do with headphones and, yeah. Anyway, I just did the same thing. They were snapped in my face. Dreary.
Yeah, it's dreary out. The sun, I can't see it, but you know what? It's bright out, so there's that. And it probably is going to stay that way for most of the day. It looks like it's going to be a rainy day with possible thunderstorms, but highs should be in 61, 65, which is great for me because I live on the second floor of a building with no AC. So I'll get those windows open, get that breeze going in,
I know.
And it's going to be great.
Do you think you will get an AC?
No. I mean, we have a window unit, but that only cools down one room.
Yeah, which is good, though. I mean, do you have it in the bedroom?
It's in my bedroom, yes.
Oh, okay.
So.
Yeah, because that's the thing, is to be able to sleep when it's hot like that.
Yeah. And that is Heidi Holton. I'm Andrew DeZingle. Coming up in just a little bit, it's going to be Area Voices, my conversation with artist John Fleischer. We receive support from the First State Bank of Big Fork, with branches in Big Fork and Kellyer, offering tools for managing money on any mobile device. Hometown banking at its best since 1912. FSBBigFork.com, member FDIC.
Donating stocks and mutual funds is a quick, easy way to support KAXE's future. You may receive tax benefits as well. You can call Sarah for details, 218-326-1234.
And we receive support from Lake Country Power, a Touchstone Energy Cooperative, serving more than 44,000 members in northern Minnesota. Lake Country Power, energy that powers our lives. And now it's time for Area Voices. My name is Andrew DeZingle, and I'm the producer of Area Voices. Today, I'm joined by artist John Fleischer, who works in drawing, sculpture, sound, and performance. And he has an exhibit at the Namath Arts Center now until July 18th, with an artist reception on June 27th. The exhibit features a lot of his sculpture work, and we get into that later in the interview. But first, I wanted to hear if he remembers the first time he got interested in art.
That's been an evolving experience, but it happened first around drawing, like most children. I have a very early sense memory of standing at an end table next to a sofa, and the end table surface is maybe chest level. And I can feel in that memory the sense of having to use the table to balance myself, that I was standing, but not comfortable standing. And I can feel myself reaching up over the table, making marks on paper on the end table. And that's one of my very first memories of existence that I can get back to. And kindergarten, first grade, I was drawing a lot. And I remember being very interested in drawing situations where, as the viewer, we're looking at a structure or a vehicle, and we're looking through windows and seeing something inside another space. So especially cars, I was really interested in cars. My father was a race car driver. He built and made race cars, still does. But so I was really interested in cars. And I remember drawing a lot of vehicles with scenes happening inside the vehicle in the kindergarten, first grade time period.
You do drawing, but you also do sculpture. So I'm curious, when did you get into the sculpture side of art?
Drawing eventually evolved into painting. And in my teens, 20s, and probably till I was about 30, I was pretty focused on painting. And then that kind of reached a crisis point for me where I just really didn't know how to continue. I was tired of figuring out the subject matter question. And I noticed myself doing the same thing a lot. I kept returning to the same motifs. And I noticed in myself an impulse to fold towels. And I was in this new situation in my life where I had entered a domestic situation that was other than the one that I grew up in. I was living with this other family, doing some work for them. And I became deeply enmeshed in their domestic routines. And one of the things that stood out to me was the way that they folded towels was different than the way our family had always folded towels. And it held my attention. And I was also just sort of interested in the fact that it interested me, like, why am I so interested in this? And so I acquired 7 matching towels. And in my painting studio, I set up a table, and at the beginning of each painting session, I would unfold the towels. They were all folded on this table, and I would unfold them. And then at the end of the session, I would fold them back up. And sometimes I would do that even when I wasn't going to dig into a painting session. I would just fold and unfold these towels. And part of it at that point was just allowing myself to explore an impulse that I didn't understand. I had this urge to do this. I had really no idea what was going on. I was thinking about this idea of this form, the towel that touches the body and the act of cleaning and caring for the body. But I didn't really know if that's what was going on. And that act, allowing myself to do that, developed into a long series of situations where I was making forms that had something to do with the body. And they were really coming out of an interest in performance at that point. They were kind of like props for me or others to interact with and actualize certain motions in the body. And eventually that became sculpture. All of that interest in performing with an object was directed into the form itself.
I found it interesting you mentioned that you found yourself kind of doing the going to the same place for paintings. So I'm curious, because with your sculptures, looking at pictures of them, you do have like a wide variety of styles of sculptures. So I'm curious, was that something that you were consciously doing where you didn't want to find yourself creating the same thing over? So you like did a drastic change of sculptures, or was that something that just happened to happen?
I realized at some point that one of the areas in an artistic practice that I got a lot of juice out of, where I felt uplifted and excited, was around the notion of surprise. And I began to organize studio processes in a way that might cultivate surprises and result in maybe the thread running through the work is the same, but the form itself might look a little different and activate the senses in a slightly different way. And that became the established pattern, where I'm kind of looking for those places within the practice where I can surprise myself. And as I'm doing that, some of them develop into fully realized forms, but others just become, you know, fodder for the dustbin. They don't seem to work out.
I noticed that you also use like a variety of materials for your sculpture pieces. So I'm curious, do you come across like pieces and you're like, oh, that could be material for a future sculpture kind of thing? Like how do you gather these materials?
Yeah, that's become really important to me. It happens a variety of ways, one of which you just mentioned. I run across something and it seems kind of potent or fertile. And I don't know why, but I'll hold it for a period of time. And eventually it sort of reveals how it wants to be in the world or in the practice. Other times it's a little more directed where, so for example, I know that I'm consciously interested in materials that are used to fill cracks or to connect two things. In the show at Nemeth, the mortar plays a big role, the material that we put between cinder blocks. There's another material in the show that is crack filler for asphalt driveways, and that comes in two forms. There's a pourable crack filler that's very liquid and just comes out of the container. And then there's another one that's more like a paste that you have to use like a palette knife or something to make it fill those cracks. So sometimes I just run across something, and at other times I'm kind of searching out materials that have certain characteristics or ways of being in the world. And those ways of being inform what's happening in the sculpture.
You do drawing and you do sculpture and you do performance and you do sound art. How do you balance creating these? Like, do you set aside time of like, okay, today I'm going to focus on sculpture, or do you have to have like inspiration come to you to work on a specific art style?
Usually I have more drive than time. Like the ideas or the things that I want to be touching outweigh the actual time in my schedule. So it's a loosely structured schedule where I'm rotating through drawing, sculpture, sound. Performance has gone very much back burner. I don't think of it as a current part of what I'm doing. It feels like the past, but I've been surprised before where I've thought things in the past were the past and they emerge again.
So let's talk about the exhibit at the Namath Art Center. So I know you have sculpture pieces there. Do you also have drawing pieces as part of the exhibit? It's just sculpture?
Well, great question in that I like to play with the idea that the sculptures in the show are rooted in drawing. Now, there are no literal drawings, marks made on paper with dry material in the show, but the sculptures that are in the show are grounded in the notion of a taut or a tense line. Every form in the show has in it a line that runs through it, and that line is pulling on the form in a way that is literally generating tension. They're sculptures, but I like to kind of play with the idea that they have some relationship to drawing as well.
What's your experience been like working with the Namath Art Center?
First and foremost, there's a ton of gratitude. It's a privilege, a ton of gratitude working with Mark and Aaron, and I've met a number of folks, very generous, encouraging, supporting folks on the board. The space itself is a huge draw. There's history in the space. The notion that it was a courtroom and everything that happened in that space in the past. One of the things that I've been most interested in is the light in the space, because it's a combination, like daylight plays a huge role in the space. The way the light moves throughout the day and comes through those large windows, it slowed me down more than expected during installation, like sort of following the way the light moved. And then the challenge of the cans overhead and daylight was a bit of a surprise as well. Being in Park Rapids has been a gift as well. I live in the Twin Cities, just outside the Twin Cities, and it's unfortunate that it's somewhat of a rare experience for me to be somewhere and not hear motors, where I don't hear an airplane or a car or a lawnmower. And in Park Rapids and outside of Park Rapids during installation, I had that experience multiple times of only hearing natural sound, which was rewarding as well.
I like that you pointed out that kind of, I think people maybe forget that with art, the exhibit is its own sort of artistic style of determining where things are going to go, how they're going to look. And so I'm just curious of that kind of perspective from the artist perspective of making those decisions of how your work is displayed in exhibit. Like, how do you prepare for that? Because I assume you bring your pieces no matter what. So it's, you kind of have to adapt to whatever the exhibit space is. Is that how it works for you?
I am interested in the site itself, and when the opportunity to exhibit at Namath surfaced, I was making these models in my studio that had to do with introducing attention through a line, introducing attention into a form. And they were pretty small, like handheld. And it was a conscious decision to visit the space and get a clearer sense of what it felt like to be in the space with the lens of exhibiting there. I had been there before, but not thinking about I'm going to show or exhibit work here. There was a conscious decision to take those models and direct those into the space with the space in mind, the specifics of that gallery in mind. So the forms were built in a way that have a little bit of flexibility. They can expand and contract just a little bit, but the placement of the forms was largely determined, and their relationship to, so for example, I think there's an interesting moment of architecture in that space where in the larger room, it has four corners, but one of the corners comes into the room. Instead of being concave, it's convex. There's like a column right in the corner. So there's a point that comes into the room and sort of addresses you as the viewer. And one of the forms that I made for the show echoes that shape and is placed in a relationship to that particular corner. So decisions like that were made based on the space itself.
John Fleischer has been my guest today. His exhibit at the Namath Art Center is up until July 18th with an artist reception on June 27th from 4 to 6 p.m. Area Voices is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota.
And that was Area Voices here on the Wednesday Morning Show. My name is Andrew DeZingle, and I'm here with my co-star, Heidi Holton.
Hey, thank you. Andrew, I loved that interview, this idea that the mundane tasks of life could inspire you. Have you ever been inspired when you folded towels?
No, but okay, so I worked at a lumberyard, and a lot of it is stacking lumber into bins kind
of
thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was when most of my creative ideas really came to me, as just doing this repetitive task over and over, and then it frees your mind to think about other things.
Yeah, I just found it so interesting how, where the mind goes when you do those things. And then even the specifics of, you know, if I hadn't heard him talking about folding towels, I wouldn't really think about, like, at my house for a long time, I folded my towels the exact way that my grandma did. Just because it made me sort of happy. She rolled them for some reason, and she had them in her medicine, or what do you call them? The closet, towel closet, I guess. I have the closet I have in my house looks exactly like my grandma's did.
Oh.
So it seemed like, oh, I should do it this way. And then for some reason, a couple of years ago, I was like, I'm going to fold them like my mom did, which I forgot she had shown me how she did it exactly and had them lined up. So
I've been taught how to fold towels, and I still don't do it.
Well, I can't fold a sheet to save my, I mean.
Oh, I definitely can't do that.
Don't even get me started. I mean, I can barely even fold a flat sheet, let alone a fitted sheet. And I know there's a way to do it where it can look as crisp and good, and I can't, and also have no desire to.
Well, with the fitted sheet, once you get it on the bed, the wrinkles will come right out.
I know. A lot of people, they iron their sheets.
Iron my sheets.
Yeah. I barely iron anything. It seems whenever I iron, I put more wrinkles in things.
I can't remember the last time I ironed.
Do you have an iron?
No.
There we go. We're admitting a lot to you this morning. Thanks for being with us. You can text 218-326-1234. Andrew, I know you maybe have talked about this before, but I have not heard your answer to whether you are a Rubik's Cube guy, because there's a tournament today at 3 p.m. at the Virginia Public Library.
As much as I wish I was a Rubik's Cube guy, I simply am not. I tried. I had a cousin who was really good at it, but not me. Didn't pass through all the DeZingle genes.
I don't know why. That could be a good name of something. DeZingle genes. I loved it. I was into it when I was a kid. And I, at the time, it was when it, I always feel like I'm showing my age whenever I come to Bemidji and talk to you, but it came out when I was a kid. So big deal, right? Mm-hmm. And you could buy the book that would teach you how to solve it.
Oh.
And so I bought the book. I mean, I tried it on my own, but then I begged to have my mother buy me the book. And then I memorized that book so that I could do the thing. And then probably 10 years ago, I was nephew wanted a Rubik's Cube for Christmas. And I was like, oh, I still had mine. So I was like, I bet I could still do it. No, no. But man, I loved it when it came out. It was such a fun thing to do.
The part I never wrap my head around is, like, you get the Rubik's Cube and it's already completed when you get it.
Yeah.
And then you have to
mess it all up.
But that part always confused me, because how far do you have to go to mess it up?
Oh, it doesn't take much. I mean, you could just do a couple of twists and it wouldn't be immediately logical to put it back together.
And then,
because it would affect all the other, you know.
Out of respect of the Rubik's Cube game.
Yes.
You should leave it for days so you don't have the muscle memory of what movements you did to scramble it, right?
Well, I don't know. I'm not one to ask, since I sort of cheated because I memorized the book. So I don't know. I don't know how to answer that sort of thing. I'm also curious about our question of the week and you. Your favorite ice cream or ice cream treat?
Mm. So I would probably go with favorite ice cream treat is when an ice cream truck would come and it has like the pop culture character. Like, they're not suckers. And they're not...
What?
Well, they're like sherbet type.
Oh, pop thing. Push-ups?
Sort of like push-ups, but they're okay. Shaped like famous pop culture figures. Like, there's a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles one.
Oh, okay.
Dennis the Menace bars that used to be at Dairy Queen.
Okay.
As an example. They have Sonic the Hedgehog ones.
Oh.
I always like those because blue tastes
good. So you like sherbet?
I do.
Boy, I do not like that.
What don't you like about it?
All the things. I don't know. There's something
like
about
2 degrees separated from ice cream.
No, it's so different.
How?
I don't know. I don't know. It's just, it's not appealing to me. I don't know if it's that was, I don't know. My mom would get it sometimes and it ended up getting freezer burn. So it was always something that the whole family, like we would eat. Maybe she would get it as a secondary thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know how your mom would go grocery shopping and then like the food was gone in like a day and a half, all the good stuff, all the snacks, all the mm-hmm. good things. And so it's like we were always sort of left with that sherbet, I think. And I just...
Well, I could see tasting freezer burn sherbet would
I don't know what the deal is. Hey, Brandon Chase is texting in and I am with him on this. I like simple as well. Ice cream sandwich.
I love an ice cream sandwich.
It's so good.
It's kind of a perfect snack.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but otherwise, I mean, how often do you eat ice cream, would you say? You need to be honest here.
Gosh. During the summer, maybe once a week, but...
Oh, okay.
During the winter, hardly at all.
You never get some ice cream and you have to have ice cream every night?
I'll get a pint, maybe, every once in a while.
Okay.
But... I don't eat it very often. It usually sits in my freezer for quite a long time, and where I get to the point of, is this still good?
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. We are very into a coffee ice cream right now at our house.
Oh.
It's so good. Have you ever had coffee ice cream?
No.
It might change your life just like that first cup of coffee did when you were 26, Andrew.
I don't know if I can handle more coffee during the day.
It's weird because it didn't seem like I know people who love coffee ice cream and are not really even coffee fans.
Mm.
It's
so what does it taste like? Can't describe it.
Heaven. I don't know. It's coffee ice cream and Java chunk is what's in there. So there's some dark chocolate chunks in there. I'm not a huge fan of like a Blizzard anymore. I used to be, but I don't like ice cream and a cup of candy. I just want to eat the ice cream. I really
okay,
like
so
that.
Are you saying you can't have Hershey syrup on an ice cream? Hershey's is a candy.
Yeah, I know. No, I mean, that seems to fit for that, you know? And there used to be a thing, do you remember? You know, like a Dilly Bar or something that has that coating, the...
Yeah.
Yeah, there used to be, I think they still have Magic Shell, it's called.
Mm.
It's like a Hershey's syrup that you can buy in the grocery store, and it hardens on like a Dilly Bar sort of thing.
I don't know if I like that.
Okay.
I also really like... the ice cream sandwich, but it's 2 cookies.
Ah, that's
on the side.
Very good.
That's usually my go-to, like at a gas station freezer type thing.
Me too. I actually had to stop doing that because it became like, oh, I'm going to get it every time I go to a gas station because it's so good.
One time I bought one and it was missing one of the cookies. And
oh,
I was so disappointed.
I'm so sorry. I shouldn't even tell you this, but because I make homemade ice cream, I have a machine,
mm-hmm.
and I made cookies and I made my own ice cream sandwich.
Wow.
With the cookies on
it. What was the flavor of the ice cream?
Just vanilla.
Okay.
Yeah. For some reason, I only once or twice have I made a flavor because the vanilla is so good, I haven't gotten sick of it. So, but I haven't made ice cream in a while. Maybe that's something I should do again.
It is the summer.
It is. You're right. And it's the Wednesday morning show. Thanks so much for texting in today. We love hearing from you. The number is 218-326-1234.
We receive support from ICTV, providing information for and about Itasca County on Apple TV, Roku, and watchictv.org. And support for KXE comes from the Third Coast Chamber Collective, presenting Adult Chamber Music Retreat featuring international artists and community musicians and venues across Grand Rapids between June 14th and 20th. More information available at thirdcoastchambercollective.com.
The weather for today, it looks like the rain has stopped so far in Bemidji right now, but we're expecting the possibility of showers and thunderstorms continuing throughout the day and into the evening. 60 to 65 across the region, could get southeast winds gusting up to 20, cloudy overnight, lows in the upper 40s.
Now it's time for From the Vault, where we play something from the KBXC Vinyl Library. And this week we're going with Bobby Gentry with the album Ode to Billy Joe.
Oh.
This song is called I Saw an Angel Die. And that was Bobby Gentry with I Saw an Angel Die from the Ode to Billy Joe album From the Vault.
Yeah, Ode to Billy Joe, a movie that came out in 1976, so you'll be studying up on it, right?
We'll see.
With Robbie Benson. They got a movie show coming up. We'll see. I'll check in with Julie Crabb and see if she has anything to say about that.
That's Heidi Holton. I'm Andrew DeZingle. Support comes from Paul Bunyan Communications, offering technology for businesses, including cloud solutions, cybersecurity services, network management, and more, all with local customer service and support. Paul Bunyan Communications, Northern Minnesota's local broadband cooperative.
We received support this morning from Veteran Mental Health Crisis Response Team of Itasca County. It's a crisis intervention service. It's a program of first call for help, 211, providing free crisis assessments, stabilization services, referrals, and resourcing to veterans and families. Trained providers are available to serve fellow veterans 24 hours a day, 7 days a week by dialing 211.
It's time now for best wishes. We do our best to wish our friends and neighbors happy birthday and happy anniversary for today, June 17th.
Happy anniversary, Artie and Wayne Wilberg. They are celebrating their 47th from Virginia.
And Brenda and Freddie Dowling in Grand Rapids celebrating their 21st anniversary today.
Claire and John Peterson, happy 9th anniversary to you. They live in Nashwalk.
And for birthdays, first up, we got Kathy Hansen in Cook.
Longtime member Therese Nett, happy 43rd birthday to you from Grand Rapids.
And in Minneapolis, Richard Sandberg celebrating 77th birthday.
Old Man River from Jacobson, Mike Elliott celebrates his 72nd today.
And finally, Stephanie Hunter from Deer River celebrating their 73rd birthday today. And we're going to play a song for the birthdays and anniversaries. This is a new one from the artist Black Nile. This song is called Daybreak. And that was Black Nile with the song Daybreak here on the Wednesday Morning Show. If you have a birthday or anniversary to share, text us at 218-326-1234. It is 7:45. I'm Andrew DeZingle here with Heidi Holton.
I want to get back to our text line for just a minute because our question of the week has to do with your favorite ice cream or your ice cream treat. And Brandon from Park Rapids said ice cream sandwich. Liz from the Tamarack Amusement Center said Java Chunk, which is my new favorite, this coffee one.
Oh.
And then Mike in Mendota, my favorite ice cream treat is a chocolate malt from the Grand Ole Creamery in St. Paul. I'll eat it even in the winter. Mike, I was talking about that place last year that it was worth, or last yesterday, it was worth the wait. It would be all the way down the street to get your ice cream cone at the Grand Ole Creamery.
Oh, wow.
On Grand Avenue. Yeah. And then the birthday boy, Old Man Rivers, says he loves celery and he loves the, what's it called? Ants on a log. He's just saying it's hard to find a celery that's not stringy. So we love hearing from you. You can text 218-326-1234. We won't ask our next guests about celery, but maybe ice cream.
Okay. Well, with the summer season starting, that means marching band season is upon us. And the Bemidji High School Marching Band has their annual Meet the Band event at 5:30 p.m. Tuesday, June 23rd. Here to talk more about it is drum majors Braden and Samantha. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, so what can you tell us about what is Meet the Band event?
Meet the Band is going to be one of our biggest fundraisers that Marching Band hosts. It consists of a pulled pork dinner, and I think there's like a ticket rally or something, and then a performance by us, the Bemidji Marching Band.
So how long have you been getting ready for this performance?
We started our after-school practices in March, and then in June we started doing our four-hour days.
And is the anything you can tell us about the music or the theme that you're going to be?
Yeah, so this year's show is called In the Arena. It's like more of a gladiator show, Coliseum, something like that. And the color guard costumes are really cool. We have a really nice drill. It's a pretty fun show, I would say.
So I always wondered about this. Who decides what the theme is for the marching band?
Yeah, so usually our director or my band teacher, Mr. Wickham, Derek Wickham, he is constantly looking through music online, looking at shows, and this year he found In the Arena just randomly on a website, and he thought it was really cool. It's really random, actually.
What does it mean to be, you guys are both drum majors, what does that mean? What's the role?
So basically we kind of lead the band in the morning right at 8 a.m. We do the stretches, we get the band all warmed up, and we're not technically like band staff, but we kind of are mainly just leading the band, like in the parades and warm-ups and everything.
And it's a kind of a you guys are both the leaders of this and kind of do this together?
Yeah.
Okay. Besides the, I mean, I'm assuming, so you said it's a fundraiser for the marching band, this Meet the Band. That must be the tradition that Bemidji has to make sure that everybody's supporting the band. Do you have what other things do you do in the summertime? You practice 4 hours a day, and then what? Parades?
I don't know if I can think of what do we do.
You got parades though, right?
Yeah, we got parades. I know we have another small fundraiser, like a car wash fundraiser that's happening today. We also have do the Lumberjack Scramble in August. We just do like a park and bark at the golf course. So that's always fun.
So for the parades, how far do you go from Bemidji?
Well, I know our farthest one this year is going to be Rochester. That's in like a weekend, though, where we have multiple parades, so we're not traveling too far in one day. But most of the parades that we travel to is going to be 2 hours, 3 hours from Bemidji.
Do Do you like being in a different community and being in a parade? What's it like?
Oh, yeah. We always, like us alumni in the marching band, always remember like going to Benson, going to Albertville, and we just like being in that community, and it's really fun.
So the Meet the Band is a fundraising event for the marching band. What needs to be funded for the marching band?
So our new costumes this year, that definitely needs to be funded. Our transportation, getting to and from places, food definitely for before we step off in the parade. A lot goes into supporting us for the band.
So you guys are the drum majors. Are you in? Do you play instruments as well?
Yeah. So I used to play the trumpet my first 2 years, and then I decided to become a drum major last year.
I played the flute for 2 years and then became drum major this year.
Okay. And do you still play them in other, like in band in high school, or you are just fully drum majors now?
Yeah, I played the trumpet all 4 years of high school. Okay. I'm graduated now.
Oh, okay.
It'll be a little bit different next year.
Yeah, yeah. Are you going to continue with music or any marching band sort of stuff?
I think as a side thing, I'll probably do a little bit of music and trumpet playing, but I'm kind of on to something a little bit different.
Okay.
So one thing I've always wondered for marching band, you know it's going to be hot during those parades. How do you mentally prepare for that? Is it just one of those things where you're like, well, this is just how it is?
Kind of, yep. that's basically it. So we have a parade in like Lake City. That's, I just remember to be like one of the hottest parades. And yeah, it's just kind of something that you have to deal with. But these new uniforms this year make it a lot easier, very more like breathable. So.
And so is someone there to make sure, like, okay, you need to be drinking water kind of thing? Like, how does the, staying hydrated, how do you do that during a parade?
The chaperones carry water for us and pass it around the band throughout the parade.
There you go.
And so how can people get tickets for Meet the Band?
I'm not exactly sure. I think they're...
You can just get them at the event?
Yeah, you can get them at the event. There might be something online. I'm pretty sure there is something online, but yeah, I would say just get them at the event.
And I guess we haven't discussed it. Where is the event at?
Yeah, where and when?
At the Bemidji High School. Yep.
Okay. And when is it again?
Dinner is at 5:30 and the performance is at 7 on Tuesday the 23rd.
All right.
Well, thank you, Brady and Samantha, for joining us this morning.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you, guys.
Good to meet you.
All right, we're going to play a tune from Johnny Blue Skies. This song is called Don't Let Go.
Crawl across the floor, down on my
And that was Johnny Blue Skies and the Dark Clouds from the new album Mutiny After Midnight. That song was called Don't Let Go. What a nice little tune that was.
It was. Felt like a nice summer morning sort of thing. As we're starting to see sun come out, even though we had some rain early this morning.
Because
I can't see my computer. My back is to it, but I can't see my computer right now.
Well, so you're missing quite the view.
I know.
A bright and beautiful morning right now.
All I see is the bright and beautiful Andrew right in front of me.
The sun reflecting off my eyes. Don't get used to it. We have showers likely with possible thunderstorms throughout the day. Cloudy with highs 61 to 65 degrees. Southeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Gusts getting up to 20. Tonight, chance of showers and thunderstorms continues. Cloudy with lows in the upper 40s. North winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. I did want to talk about the Johnny Blue Skies thing is that this album wasn't available on digital when it first came out. Because it came out, I want to say maybe February or March.
Okay.
And it was only available on CD or vinyl, but now it is available on digital.
Hey, we've been asking our question of the week about ice cream, and we just got a hot tip straight from Virginia. A twist cone from the 32-degree freeze is the best in the state.
Now, I don't know what
the city of Virginia.
A twist cone is, just like the vanilla with
chocolate
the flavor in it.
Yeah, white.